Hello, Carl Massey here, coach, strategist, and author of a few books and working on my latest book, Decision Making Mastery. And welcome to this episode of the Life Masterclass podcast, coming to you all the way from beautiful Bali. And I'm looking out over my balcony, beautiful day out there. Lots of clouds in the sky. We're coming into wet season, and it's definitely that. So a little bit more sweaty as well. So if I sweat up during the course of this conversation, you know what it's from. So here we are at the Life Masterclass podcast series, and the aim is to raise your level of happiness, health, vitality, vibrancy, wealth, success, and whatever else you want to put into that plethora of goodness, but doing it in a way that's super practical. So practical tips, tools, and strategies that you can incorporate. And today I'm recording this, and I was having a bit of a to and fro as to what I'm going to talk about. I've been writing about this week, relationship stuff, so it's going to be very easy for me to talk about some of my favourite relationship tips, and I had a particular one in mind that I wanted to share. But there's something else coming up for me about leadership and walking a talk. And as I sat with these and I sat with which is the right one for me to have a conversation about today, and I wanted it to lean in the direction of relationship, but it was leaning in the direction of leadership. And you know, that's one of the key things with leadership, is it's not always comfortable. In fact, I think most of the time true leadership is discomfort, is leaning into a conversation which might be uncomfortable. It's about making decisions that might affect people that feel uncomfortable. I think in true leadership, the most comfortable thing is feeling comfortable that you're aligned with your values. For me, my primary value is leadership, and I have a certain definition of what that looks like. And part of that definition is it's not a popularity contest. Part of that definition is it's not a part-time job. Part of that definition is about walking the talk. And that's how I want to be remembered. So at this particular time, this is end of October, for me, I see a vacuum of good, true leadership. And I think a lot of people are noticing it and, you know, seeing different decisions made and inconsistencies and all that sort of stuff. True leadership really has a certain resonance and power to it. And you sort of get the essence of the truth that comes from that. And part of true leadership, too, is about not having views based on popular opinion. And it's very easy these days to have a view and have a few people sling off at you on social media, and you sort of feel as though you're on the attack and then back off from having that point of view. But true leadership is, you know, having that point of view. So there's some people I might have respect for that have a completely different point of view, but they're doing it in a really authentic and genuine and heartfelt way, as opposed to, you know, being a total dick, which is pretty common. A lot of people just pushing their agendas and doing it in a really mean, nasty, and fear-invoking way. True leadership, when something is delivered in true leadership and from that sort of perspective, it doesn't have to be delivered with a fear essence. Like, it doesn't have to be delivered with a big stick. That's not leadership. That's dictatorship. And again, we're seeing quite a bit of that. So for me, I have a particular belief, and I'll just use an example, topical example. I've talked about it a couple of times before, wearing the mask thing. So because I was in the military, and one of the specialist training courses I did was about defense against biological and chemical weapons, I've been in a military gas chamber in full protective equipment. I understand what works and doesn't work. And when they release CS gas in there, if I've got a handkerchief or some piece of cloth over my face, I'm sucking that stuff in and I'm having the full effect of it. So I know that doesn't work. I've been studying health and well-being, mental health, physical health, for about 20 years now. And I know that if I'm getting less oxygen and more carbon dioxide, that's not increasing my health. So I'm unequivocally clear about this idea of wearing a mask is a bad idea. I don't need some external scientific study to tell me. I'm very clear about it. So I make a choice not to wear it. So leadership, walking my talk, if I say this is something I don't believe in, then I stand up for that belief. And if I come from a place not of I didn't make that up fearfully. I did critical thinking to get to that point of making the choice of this is what I believe and it feels true to me. So true leadership is actually then enacting on that. I live in Bali, and in Bali at the moment, there's a rule that says you must wear a mask when you're outside. I choose not to accept that. I choose not to conform with that particular thing because I think that rule is stupid based on what I understand, my own personal truth. So therefore, I need to experience the discomfort of, you know, riding around and maybe getting pulled over and harassed by the police and fined by the police and, you know, whatever. I need to, you know, be okay with those consequences of my action if I'm true to myself and I'm true to this leadership thing that I set. I'm not here in a popularity contest, so there's going to be people for sure that disagree with my point of view. But it's true leadership is about holding that point of view if you feel it to be true. Again, if you're not acting from fear, if you've done critical thinking and you've come up with this point of view and if you're sort of walking that path. The other thing with true leadership is when your information becomes available, which is different, you know, from your point of view, true leadership is about changing. It's about going, oh, okay, new information has come out. I did have this particular belief, but I'm willing to change that because I've got new information. Poor leadership is when you sort of stick to a path and stick to it because you don't want to be embarrassed in inverted commas by changing your point of view along the way. That's just ridiculously stupid. If new information comes along, then we change our point of view. And that is something that hasn't happened at all through the course of 2020 as new information has come in. And it's very clear now looking at the evidential-based data that's available to make a determination on what are the treatment options to do moving forward. That hasn't happened. And it brings me back to the point, and you've probably... Now, it doesn't bring me back to the point, it brings me to a new point. I've been studying and writing about beliefs for about 10 plus years now. I've worked with lots of different people. I've done different training courses. I've studied hypnotherapy. I've conducted hypnotherapy. So I understand this thing that happens in this relationship between the conscious and subconscious part of our brain. So a term that's come up of late is cognitive dissonance. And the term cognitive dissonance, and I've been reading a few different books I read all the time, and it's come up as a word in there as well. So I'm thinking, okay, this is something that I need to dialogue on. For me, cognitive dissonance is when we get locked into freeze response based on a fear and maybe even a trauma experience. So what happens if we experience trauma? There's a possibility amygdala flies off, autonomic nervous system, and then we have a stress response, which might be fight, flight, or freeze. So if something's too traumatic, we get sort of frozen in. And what I think from a cognitive dissonance perspective is, if back in March, and we're all sort of brought into this fear of this, you know, deadly virus sort of thing, if that can be so fearful, it can actually be stored like a trauma experience. And that can stay there and that can cause us to be locked into the thinking of that thing back in March 2020. So then as new information comes available, because that traumatic experience and that fear experience was so strong, you're sort of locked back into that. So instead of interpreting information based on what's available now, this cognitive dissonance takes back into this fear response, locked into this traumatic experience in the past. So instead of allowing new information to come in as new information is available, we'll be stuck in that. The same thing happens if someone has a traumatic experience in their past. They can have an experience in their past where they get locked into the emotional maturity that they evolved to. Maybe they had something happen at 5, so they've never been able to evolve beyond the reactive response they had, the protective response they had from their subconscious. So maybe their subconscious sort of shut things out or pushed them away or caused them to act a particular way. And maybe they haven't evolved beyond that. So they can age regress, even at, you know, the age of 40, get triggered, which brings up a memory of that past experience, consciously or subconsciously, and someone can age regress to that experience, and someone can have a, you know, throw a tantrum like a four-year-old when they're a 40-year-old because of age regress, because that trauma hasn't been processed. So this is what I think cognitive dissonance is sort of showing us. If a fear level is high enough, then it can cause something to be locked in there that can cause this traumatic experience to be locked in there. And then it's very hard to bring new information in, and very hard for this to change. So getting back to our topic of leadership, and being a true leader of our lives as well, is our ability to take in new information, look at it compared to the information we have available, and change things along the way. Now that has to happen when we need to be in the right state. If we're in a fearful state where we've dropped down to the midbrain and we don't have the capacity to determine and work our way through these particular things. So we need to elevate our consciousness up to a level so we're working and operating around, you know, the upper part of the brain, the frontal cortex, and the upper part of the mind as well. And the upper part of the mind then gives us this broad perspective. So again, when we go into a stress response, fight, flight, or freeze, we come into a very narrow response and we really can't see the bigger picture. So again, we need to be in this calm sense. And I came up just recently with these three C's. So I need to be calm, I need to be connected, and I need to be centered. So calm, we can all understand. So when I'm in a calm state, I'm activating the parasympathetic nervous system, which is opposite to the sympathetic nervous system, where the sympathetic nervous system is that stress response. So calmness takes my autonomic nervous system into a way where it's more able to process. When I'm in that calm state, I have more blood flow to the upper reaches of my brain, which means more oxygen, which means more fuel, which means I have more mental capacity to deal with whatever it is in front of me. So I need to be calm. Connected. I need to be connected. And for me, connected, I connect to myself. And I connect to that bigger thing around me, the thing that's bigger than myself, the thing that, you know, created from the Big Bang, planets and stuff and an order within the universe. Whatever that is to you, call it whatever you will. God, source, life, whatever it is. So when I get connected, and I get connected at my heart center here, like that's when I drop into my heart and a deeper sense of wisdom. So I connect to my inner, innate wisdom and intuitive faculties. So I want to be calm, I want to be connected, drop in. And the other one I say is centered. So I want to be centered. I want to be centered at the brain level between right and left hemisphere, between front of brain, between back of brain. I want this alignment. And when again I'm centered, it helps me to be grounded as well. And it helps me to have perspective and, you know, not be moving around like this, trying to get a sense of things. You know, I drop into this and I become like that sage-like man or sage-like woman who's completely centered. And so when they're responding to things, they're coming from this deep place of wisdom, this deep place of calm, this deep place of centeredness. So I've sort of woven a little bit through this idea of leadership. I've woven a little bit through this cognitive dissonance and the antidote to this, coming into that calm place, coming into that centered place, coming into that connected place and doing critical thinking from that place, not from a fear place. I acknowledge there's times I go into a fear response and I acknowledge that's not the time to make important decisions and that's not the state I want to be in if I truly want to work out what's going on. And I don't want to look at information that might be a little bit disruptive or a little bit dark. You know, a lot of discussions at the moment about pedophilia and human trafficking and that sort of stuff. I don't want to go into looking into that or looking at that unless I'm in this calm, centered, connected space. And when I'm in that space, I can hold space and look at that and not be overwhelmed by it. So leadership is about, you know, walking your talk. It's not about being comfortable all the time. It's definitely not about a popularity contest. True leadership is walking a talk, but walking the talk that you've actually critically thought about and you've critically analysed from this higher state of an elevated mind. Once you've worked out those truths, and those truths resonate, and those truths aren't predicated on fear, and they don't require you to wrap them up in fear to present them to someone else, coming from that place, that's more about true leadership and what I see as true leadership. And what I'd love to see more of is, you know, true leaders who stand within this inner flame, their inner greatness, and are open to changing their minds if new information becomes available. And that's not just in this 2020 space, that's in all our lives. The more we have the capacity to modify our beliefs based on new information, the more we're able to do this evolution process. Because evolution is bringing new information in and cutting other information away, stuff that doesn't serve us. So there's stuff that served me when I was 20 or 30 or 40, but doesn't serve me when I'm 51. I need to cut that stuff away. I learn new stuff. I'm always reading and learning, trying to understand and put the pieces together. And I'm very comfortable letting go of something if I find that, you know, what I was thinking or teaching or talking about is not fully correct, and I'll modify it to fit. And I'll let people know, hey, you know how I believe this particular thing? I've since learned new information, and this is what I've learned. So there you go, little bit of a meandering path for me, but I felt that I needed to say this. Something was calling on me to say this, so hopefully there's something within this conversation that's been resonant for you, that's given you a deeper sense of calm and a greater ability to have a broader perspective. Understanding that getting into this connected space, this centered space, is where you need to view information from. And that will make all the difference. And then be your own leader, and your own leader in your families and your communities, coming from this place of calm, coming from this place of centeredness, coming from this place of deep connection. As always, if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me, you know, down below or in the notes below. I'll have details there to reach out to me via my website, karmassey.com. I'm super excited at the moment because I've got the Life Masterclass coming up. I've been recording videos and I'm getting pretty excited about it. 27th to 29th of November, 2020. Over this weekend, I'm going to take my live Life Masterclass workshop, which I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 years, and we're doing it online. And I've got a number of Q&A coaching sessions over the course of that weekend and the couple of weeks after it, so you can ask any questions. And I've made those at time zones that make it okay if you're in the UK or okay if you're in the States or whatever. The time zones are going to fit for you, so you're going to be able to attend a bunch of those conversations to ask me questions directly. So that's one of the best ways to deep dive on this stuff and have access to me. So I'd love to see you at the Life Masterclass. And if you're listening to this, I'm happy to give you a little bit of a discount, 20% discount. If you enter into, once you go into the shopping cart, coupon code is BEAUTY, all in uppercase. Once you put that in, 20% discount, money back guarantee on this event, because I know it's going to be awesome. So I'd love to see you there. But otherwise, if I don't see you there, have an absolutely fantastic day, week, month, 2020. And wherever you are on this beautiful, gorgeous, incredible planet of ours, all the very best, and take care.